For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, we read on down a little further in the last readings how that 3,000 people gladly received the word of God and they were baptized. Now, I know that people, preachers that is, as a rule, they don't attempt to explain that. They just tell you that you got to be baptized a certain way, and they don't attempt to teach you or to give you any understanding of it or to tell you why they do it. They just do it. Now I want you to look again now over here in the book of St. Matthew's in the 28th chapter. If you notice that this 28th chapter deals with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now that's what it's dealing with, is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he was resurrected and the earthquake took place and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone. And if you notice, the angel said to the women, fear not, said, I know you seek Jesus, who was crucified, said, but he's not here, he's risen. Said, now go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen. Went on to tell them that he would go before them, and they departed from the sepulchre, and they did just exactly what Jesus said. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, I want you to notice something here. In the 16th verse, then the 11 disciples. Now I want to clarify this real good so that if anybody should hear it, that there won't be any mistake. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Now see, Jesus, when he was resurrected, he told the women and told the others, said, now go tell them to go into Galilee and there I'll meet with them. Then the 11 disciples, notice it was the disciples, and it was 11 disciples because it was after the resurrection of Jesus and Judas had committed suicide. There was only 11 of them for the foundation of the church at this time. It is commonly believed that Paul became the 12th one, even though they cast lots for another. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. I want you to notice now, they never worshiped Jesus as a rule before Jesus was crucified and resurrected. They never did that. The demons came and fell down and worshiped Jesus before he was ever resurrected or crucified. But as a rule, the people did not. But now that he's resurrected, he is ready to be worshiped. When he was in the flesh, he refrained a lot of times from that to keep them from getting their minds on the flesh. Well, the Bible said we have known Jesus after the flesh, but from henceforth we know him no more after the flesh, not as a son, for that's flesh, but we know him as the eternal God, which is resurrected from the dead, a quickening spirit, the second man Adam. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Notice again now, this is the 11 disciples. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now that is a bold statement for a man to make when he said, now I am all power in heaven and in earth. Now. He said, now I'm everything. Now I'm resurrected from the dead. Now I'm everything. I'm all power. I'm the Father's power. I'm the Son's power. I'm the Holy Ghost's power. I'm all power. If you're looking for a Father power, then I'm the Father power. If you're looking for the Holy Ghost power, I'm the Holy Ghost power. If you're looking for the church power, I'm the church power. I am all power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice something here. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's the Japanese, that's the American people, that's the Germans, that's Russia, that's all nations. Teach every nation, that's India, that's the heathens. Teach all nations that Buddhist is wrong, that Confucius is wrong, and that all the other gods that they have, they are wrong, and that there is but one God. And the Bible says in one place in the Old Testament that all nations shall suddenly remember and turn unto their God. They shall suddenly remember. All nations one day will remember and turn to God, and God will set up the millennium. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. One name for the three. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, I want you to see that Jesus spoke to these men, and I've said it so many times, that this was one Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem. Now here they are in Galilee, in a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, for he was to meet them at the Mount of Olives, where he ascended up and was to come back in the same way. Now here he is, and he tells them here, that they are to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In the first chapter of the book of Acts, the writer here said, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, you see this? They asked him the question if he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel. He said, this is not for you to know. But he said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea. And the Bible goes to one place and says, first in Jerusalem. And it says in the 9th verse, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, what I'm trying to do here is to show you that where Jesus had met these disciples in Matthew's, and this is why I said the other day, if Matthew's had been right close to the Acts of the Apostles, it would have made it a little clearer. But where he had met these people in the book of Matthew's over here, as it's recorded in the book of Matthew, over in Galilee, that it was from the same mountain called the Mount of Olivet that he ascended up into heaven. The next recording of it is in the book of the Acts. In other words, just as quick as he ascended up, then we start into the book of Acts, and the book of Acts said they watched him go up after he told them to go to Jerusalem. And the 11 disciples went right straight on to Jerusalem, went into the upper room, and there abode until they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they came down from the upper room, and when they came down from the upper room, then they preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit came in as a mighty rushing wind in the form of cloven tongues. As I've said before, the reason he came as tongues was to show that he was the God of all nations. Now, I know that they teach that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. That is not true. It is wrong. They don't have any Bible for it, and it is wrong. I have heard them make the statement, they take over in the writings of the Pauline epistles, and they will come back with where Paul speaks of the gift of tongues, and they say that this gift of tongues is a different tongues from the tongues on the day of Pentecost. That is not true. A dollar is a dollar, no matter how you look at it, where it's a gifted dollar to you, or if it's a dollar put in the bank, it's still a dollar. The same Holy Ghost that spoke in the tongues on the day of Pentecost, it was the same Holy Ghost that spoke as the gift of tongues in the day when Paul spoke of the gift of tongues. Now, the Bible scholars try to rearrange this because it cuts across their doctrine. If they don't do something to what Paul spoke of, then they've got to confess that tongues is not the initial evidence, because if they don't make a difference between the gift of tongues and the tongues at Pentecost, they've got to confess that all men don't speak in tongues. Because when Paul spoke of the gift of tongues, he said, do all men prophesy? No. Do all men work miracles? No. Do all men have discernment? No. And he went on down the line naming the gifts. One Spirit, many operations, naming the operations of God, the different operations of God in the church body, which is called a gift. And when he got to tongues, he said, do all men speak with tongues? No, they don't. Now then, the difference, there is a difference. There is a difference. And we'll get back to Pentecost, because this is what Pentecost is. He came as a mighty rushing wind. It was tongues that they spoke in. The only difference in Paul's teachings is that it was tongues given to the church as a gift. That's the only difference. Over there on the day of Pentecost, it was just poured out upon the church there to show people that God was the God of all people. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Is that the prophecy of Joel? I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. In Matthew 28, didn't he make the statement? He said, go tell all flesh. Go preach to all nations, all flesh. Is that right? Tell all flesh, go tell all flesh, I'm resurrected from the dead. Make disciples of them that I've now poured out my Spirit upon the Russians and the Germans and the Chinese and the Japanese and every other nation. And I want you to go over to Jerusalem, be filled with this Holy Ghost. And after you're filled with it, you'll know what I'm talking about. And when they went there, sure enough, here came the Holy Ghost in the tongue of every nationality under heaven. Is that right? The Bible said from out of every nation under heaven, there was people that came together. Now, I know that all was Jews. I know that because God was working with the Jews and he had to use the Jews. But there is Russian Jews, there is German Jews, there's all kinds of Jews. And these Jews were people of those countries and of those nations. God just used the Jew because that was the one he was using as a type of the church. But it still was of the nation, of these foreign nations. And the Bible said that when they came together, they said, we do hear every man speaking his own tongue wherein he was born. Every man. Somebody could have said, well, he's speaking in the Mede language. Somebody said, no. No, you're mistaken. He's speaking in my language. He's speaking in the Parthian language. Somebody said, no, both of you's wrong. That man's talking in the Elamite language because I can tell what he's saying. And the truth of it is that up until this time, the Lord had never been God of anybody but the Jews. Is that right? He had never known, was never known to be the God of anybody but the Jews. Now then, the thing that he did, the thing that he did was show the Jews that he was not only the God of the Jews, but that he was the God of all creation, of all mankind, to where the Jews could never again be self-righteous. That's why he did it. And here it is proven. Why did the Holy Ghost come in tongues? So that everybody would have to speak in tongues? Absolutely not. He said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh in the last days. Joel the prophet prophesied it. You can read it in the Old Testament. And on the day of Pentecost, it came to pass just exactly like he said. He poured out of his spirit upon all nations, just like Joel said. And Peter, willing to substantiate it, got up and made the statement, said, this is that the prophet Joel said would come to pass in the last days. Now then, he let them speak in tongues, so that every nation would have a testimony directly from God that I am your God. Like you hear a lot of times, you hear people say, well, he speaks my language. Say, we get along good because Atlas speaks my language. Now, see, he wanted them to know that they could get along because he spoke their language. And so then he spoke to them in their own tongue wherein they were born, that he was not a foreign God, that they didn't need to worship Confucius. They didn't need to worship Buddhists. They didn't need to worship some other God because he spoke their language. He was their God. But all of these others was paganistic practices, but that he was their God and the only God that there is. And so then he let the Holy Ghost come in tongues, because up until this time, the Holy Ghost had never come in anybody's tongue but the Jewish tongue. How many believe that's true? He had never at any time come in anybody's tongue other than the Jew's tongue. Is that right? He had always come in the Jew's tongue in the Old Testament. And Peter, referring back to it from the Acts of the Apostles, saying that the Holy Ghost spake through David saying such and such. He always spoke in the Jew language. But he wanted every nation to know that he was now their God. That's why he did that. Now, that's why that I say that baptism in the name of Jesus Christ was not just to the Jew. A Bible scholar that tells that, he don't know what he's talking about. Because on the day of Pentecost, Peter had the keys to the kingdom, and he opened the door to the kingdom, and John in the book of Revelation saw the door open and said, now there is a door open in heaven. And Jesus said, I am that door. There is now a door open to get back into the Spirit. Whereas we've been cut off from the Spirit, now you can be translated back into the Spirit, which is eternal, the eternal world. Peter unlocked the door at Pentecost. We say, who did he unlock it to? To every nation, every kindred, every tongue, because the Holy Ghost spoke in their tongues. Until Peter got the keys to the kingdom and unlocked the door, the Holy Ghost didn't speak in nobody's tongue but the Jews. But when he took the keys and unlocked the kingdom, then the Holy Ghost said, now there is an entrance to the Parthians, the Elamites, to all of you, to the Russians, the Germans, and the Jews. And he immediately sent Paul the apostle to the Gentile church to preach that there was now an entrance to the kingdom of God for the Gentile people. But nobody ever came into the kingdom of God except the Jew until the day of Pentecost. Now then, he was speaking in all of them's language because there was a door open to all of them now. Now, Peter, they said to Peter, when they heard this, they said, Peter, what can we do? All of those people. Peter said, with wicked hands, you people have taken the very God that created you. And when he personified himself in a human form, because you knew him not as God, Paul said, and glorified him as God, he turned you over to reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. Just to believe whatever you wanted to and to do those things that are not convenient. Is that right? The thought that I had in mind today was a love for the truth. Because you had not a love for the truth, I will turn you over to believe in a Trinitarian teaching. I'll turn you over to believe that baptism for remission of sin can be in any name. In the name Father, or the name Son, or the name Holy Ghost. My friend, I want to tell you something. Now, I feel like Paul the Apostle. Paul said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. He found Peter over there, even after Peter had the keys of the kingdom and opened the doors, Peter even got fuddled up or got confused over that, even after he did that. He still got confused. Did you know after God does a great work through a man, he'll still get confused if you don't watch out. After John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, came and saw the dove come down from heaven and saw and introduced Christ and said, this is he of whom the prophets and all of them spoke, and I am not worthy to even tie a shoe. And then went right on, and when they put him in prison and was fixing to cut off his head, he said, go out there and find out if I made a mistake. He said, go out there and ask him if he's really the one. John couldn't fit it together. Here I introduce a fella to the public and tell how great he is, and the next thing I know, I'm getting my head cut off. What am I getting out of this? See, the flesh rose up just long enough to cause a distortion. Now then, that's why you hear me say sometimes you can be in the will of God and Satan can make you think you're out. You can be out and Satan can make you think you're in. You can be saved and Satan can make you think you're lost. You can be lost and Satan can make you think you're saved. See, look at the great leaders. Here Peter is, opened the doors to the Gentile church, opened the doors of the kingdom to the Gentile church. And then after he did it, some of the people come up here from James. Now, after he'd done gone down to Cornelius's, or after the door had been opened to the Gentile church, here somebody comes up from the house of James, and Peter gets afraid. He'd been over here eating with the Gentiles, and then he got afraid when they come up. And, you know, be afraid they'll put you out of the synagogue, disfellowship him. And so then he got afraid because these disciples came up from the house of James. So he just withdrew from the Gentiles, went back over there with the Jews. And it upset Paul. When Paul came along having the revelation, Paul said, Peter said, what are you doing? He said, what do you mean doing a thing like that? He said, now let's don't frustrate the grace of God. He said, if salvation came by the law, if the resurrection came by the law, if the things that the people need come by the law, he said, then you know that Jesus Christ wasted his time going to Calvary. Said he was crucified in vain because we have the law before he ever come. And he said, Peter, in other words, what's the matter with you? You walked with Jesus for a number of years, and you saw all these things, and now here you are, if you're not careful, going right back to the same thing over there when Peter denied the Lord to begin with. Now he said, now I'm not going to frustrate this. He said, Peter, I'm going to rebuke you before every one of these people. I blame Peter to his face before every one of them. The Bible said, rebuke before all that others might fear. Now, I believe that God did that for one reason. Peter had already accomplished his mission and opening the doors to the kingdom, but did not have the revelation of Jesus Christ. And God wanted Paul to have the preeminence in that he had been given the revelation of Jesus Christ. God doesn't just use anybody. Paul had sat at the feet of Gamaliel for many years and had learned the law, every jot and tittle. And when God got ready to give the revelation, he had to have such a man that was educated in that way to take him into the Arabian desert just to pull the sheet off of his understanding, to take the veil off of his intellectual understanding, that there would be the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because that's what the Old Testament is the revelation of Jesus Christ in the veil. When he moved it, that's all he had to do, because Paul already knew it. That's why he did it. It had to be a quick work cut short in righteousness. He said, now I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. Now then, I want to say this to the preachers today. I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God if remission of sin is in the name Father, or in the name Son, or in the name Holy Ghost, then Jesus Christ died in vain, because we had the Holy Ghost back yonder in the days of the church in the wilderness. And not only did we have the Holy Ghost, but we also had the name Father among us and the name Son among us. If that is for remission of sin, then God wasted his time by sending his Son to Calvary and killing Jesus at Calvary, that redemption might be in his name. The door open in heaven was the baptism into the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the water being a symbol of the grave, and the name being the door, remission, the open door into the Spirit. Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. Peter opening that door, as I said before, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel to every nationality, kindred, and tongue, and they spoke in their own language. Never before had the door been opened to the Gentiles, and he didn't speak their language until that time when Peter took the keys and opened the door. Now then, I say this, if what they say is true, then the Bible is written in vain. The New Testament is all in vain, and we didn't need a New Testament. We didn't need a new covenant, and they cannot go to Jesus. They cannot go to Jesus as an intercessor for their sins because they don't believe in his name. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I've called on the name. I've spoke the name. That doesn't have anything to do with it. The devils do that. The devil said, we know you're the Son of God. The devil believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's not enough. He's got one specific order of salvation whereby baptism doth also now save us. Whereas Jesus said, he that be born to the water and to the Spirit, he shall enter in. But now I know when you say being born to the water, you say a water birth. That means going back to the water birth. And Jesus said you got to come in by that and then come in by a spiritual birth. You got to be born in the world as a natural man and then born in the world as a spiritual man. But even though we consider it from that, it's still positive proof that if the witness in the earth was water, there's got to be a water witness somewhere. And I made the statement the other day in the teaching that in the Old Testament, the thing that they did, they would take this lamb and they would wash this lamb and bring this lamb in after he had been cleaned up. They would take the skin off of it, burn it outside the camp, offer the inwards up, and the blood would be taken and offered up as an offering to God. The water represented water baptism in Jesus' name. To the sacrifice that was to be offered to God. The fire represented the blood, for he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost in fire. That fire of consummation on the big brazen altar, which I said was Calvary, and Jordan was the baptism. They baptized Jesus in Jordan and washed the offering. They took the offering because he had come out of what they called Nazareth, and they called it unclean and said, can't nothing good come out. So they washed him in Jordan, and then they took him to Calvary, which was the big brazen altar, and they offered him up there because his soul went into hell to show it. The second part of it. The soul went into hell to show it, and then the Bible said the body, the beast, his body was burnt outside the camp. Is that right? That shows the fire. That shows hell. And the resurrection was the spirit that came forth. The spirit that came forth. Which life was in the blood that went back to God who gave it. That was the Holy Ghost baptism. Water for the body, blood for your blood and your soul. Fire baptism to burn out the chaff, and the Holy Ghost Spirit for your spirit. One baptism and three in one. It was shown in types and shadows in the Old Testament. This is what God called the revelation of Jesus Christ, was taking the Old Testament and taking the veil off to see what the types and shadows meant. Now, I am persuaded to believe the reason that the church is in the condition it's in is because they had not a love for the truth. When the Lord gave them the teachings of the Word of God and told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, they didn't believe it and they didn't love it. And because they didn't love it, God turned him over to a reprobate mind and let them believe that the remission of sin could be in those words, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And because of that, then they are turned over to reprobate mind and cut out of the commonwealth of Israel, as the Bible speaks of. There is no remission of sin in the name Father. Anybody would know better than that. There is no remission of sin in the name of Son. I'm a father, and there is no remission of sin in that name. I've got a son, and I'm a son, and there's no remission of sin in that name. There is no remission of sin in the name Holy Ghost. Somebody saying, well, wait a minute, Brother Pike. No, there's no waiting about it. If remission of sin is in the name of the Holy Ghost, or the name Holy Ghost, then what about Holy Spirit? Because he was the Holy Spirit before he ever became the Holy Ghost. Then you'd have to say that the real truth was, they'd have to say, I'm baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That would mix up everything because Jesus said Holy Ghost. So it just proves it wrong. Now, remission of sin is in the name Jesus, and the Holy Ghost is the sign of circumcision. It's the seal. Now, let me go just a little further here to get through with what I'm trying to say. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Then you say, what's the difference then between Pentecost and that the Bible said the Holy Ghost was not yet given? If Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, how was he filled with the Holy Ghost when the Bible said it was not yet given? It wasn't. David was filled with the Holy Ghost. Those men always were filled with the Holy Ghost. When Samson killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass, he was full of the Holy Ghost. Sure he was. But it was not yet given. You say, what do you mean? The gift of the Holy Ghost is eternal life. The Bible said the gift of God, that's the Holy Ghost. The gift of God, the spirit or nature of Christ, or God the eternal spirit, had never been given unto man as a gift of eternal life. He had never received him as his very own because remission of sin had not yet taken place. And before that they could receive God as a gift, an everlasting gift of eternal life, then Jesus had to die that the Holy Ghost would come back. He said, in my name, I go away, I'll send you back a comforter. When he's come, he'll come in my name. He'll testify of me, the Word. That was why he was not yet given. He was not yet made a gift. The Bible said Jesus came up from the grave and gave gifts unto men. I'd sure like to get into a Christmas story one day. Now then, let's try to find a place to close here with a few more words now. The Holy Ghost has always been here. Men do not have to speak with tongues to have the Holy Ghost. Men that have the Holy Ghost can speak with tongues. If they want to praise God, they can do it in tongues. They can do it anyway because the Holy Ghost is the kingdom of God, the fullness of it. They can work a miracle. They can have discernment. They can interpret. Any Christian can do anything, but the way he has to do it, one spirit, many operations. He has to do it by faith. If he can make his faith move into any certain channel, he can do it. We're going to have a teaching on faith, the Lord being willing, and I'll try to explain what I'm talking about. But here in the Word of God, these 11 apostles went to Pentecost. The Holy Ghost came as a mighty rushing wind. It came as cloven tongues of fire. Now, why did it come as cloven tongues? Cloven means split. Why was it a split tongue? Because in the Old Testament, they were taught that God was a consuming fire. It was a pillar of fire that led Israel. It had to be a tongue or a pillar of fire that came to the new church. When Brother Branham came on the scene, it was still a pillar of tongue. It's God, the eternal revelation, which is the consuming fire that burns out the chaff of your carnal intellectual reasoning that can manifest himself as a pillar of fire or anything else. But in that fire purges all things, then God likes to liken himself unto fire because there is nothing that can withstand fire. It can even melt the stones. So he calls himself the fire, likened to the great sunlight. But the tongue of fire was cloven, which means split. In the Old Testament, Israel was told that anything that had a cloven hoof or split hoop or chewed the cud. It had to chew the cud and have a cloven hoof. Is that right? Somebody say amen if that's right. All right. See, chew the cud that goes back to the tongue. Is that right? A cloven tongue, a split hoof, meant that it was food from heaven. It was right from God. The tongue of fire signified that this is the same sacrifices that was offered up on the great brazen altar where the fire consumed it as a symbol of God. It's that same Jesus at Calvary, the evening time lamb. And this is the same sacrifices that I said unto you was clean that the priest eat in your presence in the inner courts. Is that right? It had to come that way so they know it was clean. Why? Now, here's another thing. The Bible said that it came as a mighty rushing wind. Is that right? On the day of Pentecost, why did it come as the wind? Because Jesus said, he that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. It signified the Spirit of God filling. It filled the natural house with natural tongues of fire. And it signified that the spiritual Holy Ghost was now coming to your house. Into your house, Peter said, if this house be dissolved, I have another house eternally in heaven, not made with hands. That he'd come into your house with a new tongue of understanding and revelation of a language that was of another world. Whereas that you would let your conversation be in heaven and talk about heavenly things, and that you was no longer the old creature. And I'll show you how some people get beside themselves. We got some brethren here in the era that has rebelled against us here and rebelled against the teachings. Jesus told them one time, said, you do err not knowing the scriptures. Because they didn't want to come and line up with the church and work with us, they tried to use the scriptures to defend themselves. When somebody said something to them, they said, well, we're those that's without the camp. Said, we're just Jesus going without the camp, bearing the reproach. Now I want to show you how people can get mixed up. First of all, those that were without the camp was unclean, like the leopards, and all of them was driven without the camp. Jesus went without the camp because that was a sinful part of him, was made sin. Because in the Old Testament, the beast's body, which Jesus was likened to, was taken and burned without the camp, which was symbol of that Gehenna, or that fire outside of Jerusalem that they burn all the time, which was a symbol of hell, or the consummation of the beast, his body, which God rejected, the sinner that could not get into the holies of holies. That which went into the holies of holies where the incense was offered up. If we just had time to go into it as revelation. That was what was clean and holy. So you see, they don't know what they're talking about. They ramble around in their thoughts to try to justify themselves when they don't do right. They get some wild idea, and then when they get that idea, they add sin to sin, trying to justify their wrongs. And because they have not a love for the truth, God turns them over to a reprobate mind and lets them believe a lie and be damned, or get in serious trouble. The preachers today that are preaching this heresy of remission of sin in the word Father, or in the word Son, or in the word Holy Ghost, that is heresy. It is wrong. Nobody can ever find remission of sin like that. It is wrong. God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. That is a lie. And they will be damned if they keep preaching it, because he said if you break one of the least of these commandments, or if you take one bit out of this book, I'll take you part out of the book of life. You'll be called the least of the kingdom of God. Is that right? Now then, it is wrong. It is heresy. I'm going to say this and try to close. The denominational powers, I spoke the other day, how that this thing got started through the Catholic Church in 325 A.D., as most of you know. And this is on record in the Bible. From that time coming on down, they preserved that word, as I said a few days ago, by penmanship. Because the word was no longer spirit in the flesh of prophecy and miracles, they preserved it as a penmanship of the page. Because God is the Alpha, which is the church in the wilderness, the lesser light. And then he's Omega, which is the light of the world, the evening time, spiritual Jew church. The in-between is the harlot and her daughters and all of her intellectual powers, which is the beast. Because there is Adam and there is Eve, the beginning and the end, and anything that separates Adam from Eve is a middle wall of partition, which is the intellectual powers of the beast. That is Christ from the church, the Jew from the Gentile church, because they are likened unto the male. Jesus was called a Jew. Now then, that middle wall of partition, and God broke it down through Calvin. It's come over all the way in the end time. All of those things spring from Martin Luther's teaching. And even though God brought the seed of the word right on through this channel over to the end time. Yet, in spite of the fact that he did it, bringing it all the way over from a natural Jew at Pentecost over to a spiritual Jew at end time, one nation at Pentecost, many nations in the end time, even though he brought it all the way over, yet he brought it through the beastly part to show you that he has preserved life in your inner man by the crucifixion of Christ and foreknowledge of God, even though your outer man is beastly. And the first tabernacle's got to be dissolved, that you get the oven eternal in heaven, not made with hand. On the Eutychopite tape, I brought out how that the first one was, Paul said, we bear the image of the earthly, which is the beastly. We've got a tabernacle in heaven, the body of Christ. We bear the image of the heavenly. It'll come to pass. Now, what I'm trying to say in bringing the thing to a close here is that God used the Baptists, he used the Methodists, he used the Presbyterian, he used the Catholic Church, and all the rest of them while that they were in a state of spiritual ignorance. God could do it and let them by with it. But, as a matter of fact, that's why he let the light at Pentecost go out so they could go into darkness where he wouldn't have to destroy them until he completed his plan and bring up the light in the evening time. But now we're in the evening time light, and the great leaders that started the Baptist church, it was men of God, men that started the Methodist church like Wesley, men that started the Lutheran church like Luther, that just had a little bit of knowledge and applied that to the best of their ability. God received it because they didn't know anymore. And God let them teach it as it was restored step by step to the fullness of the evening time light to come back to the apostolic church, which is Pentecost. The only church that God ever received. The body of Christ. The name, Jesus Christ, over the body of Christ, which is Pentecost. The body of Christ is the only church there is. It's got to have his name. You've got to lose your identity and take on his name. That's Pentecostal church. Jesus' name. Now then, these leaders that started the Church of God, started the Assemblies of God, and that started the UPC, which is also called a Jesus Name Church, these men were great leaders. But now that we've come to the evening time light, new leaders have come up. Young men have come up. Others have taken over, like Solomon was a man of God. But when his son Rehoboam took over, he just was terrible. These young leaders took up. It's still the kingdom. Jesus said when the Jews walked through the temple, he said, it's still the house of prayer. It's still the house of God, though you leaders have made it a den of thieves. It was still the kingdom of Solomon, though Rehoboam had turned it into something awful. Even the other kings that came down in that time, they turned it into something bad, just about all of them. Josiah and a few that he raised up stopped it. Is that right? How many remember Josiah? The little 12-year-old boy, the greatest king, one of the greatest that ever lived. Now, what I'm saying is that was the move of God, but when God got through with it, and he got through with it when they stopped receiving life, they set them up a doctrine that was not flexible with God, that could not work with God as God added scripture upon scripture, line upon line, and chapter to chapter. They set it up in an ecclesiastical way. They wouldn't change it. And then when the others got new light, they called them heretics and put them out of the church. And now the church, having put the people of God out of the churches for the leadership, Now it has become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird, and will go, that means spirits, and will go into the confederation of churches. The old leaders have died out, and even though there's still a few people mixed up in it that don't have any control over the church, and it's looking for somewhere to go to church, good people that love God still going, God will bring them out. He said, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins, for she is, her sins have reached up to heaven. We spoke about the Catholic Church being the head of it, the one that had the testimony when they landed on the moon, the only church. Her sins are carnality. Her sins have reached up to heaven. Now she's begun, when it says heaven, that means she's done got her intellectual reasoning in the spirit, trying to run the church by intellect. Now that means reached up to heaven. How many of you understand what I'm saying? So then, these churches today, that they are a cage. And what the people need to do is come out of them, get away from them, get in the name of Jesus Christ. Teach remission of sin in the name of the Lord. Lift up the name of Jesus. There is no salvation, no Holy Ghost, no Spirit, no church, no revival. I don't care how long it lasts, how much intellectual indoctrination you have, how much shouting you have, how much money you get. There is no revival where the name Jesus is not preached for remission of sin. There is no revival. Now, I know the UPC, because they are Jesus' name church, because they've got the name Jesus, using it in baptism, my friend, you can have a name that you live and still be dead when the spirit departs from the body. Jesus hang on Calvary when the spirit departed from the body, Calvary, because the body was made sin, though it was the body of Christ, he was dead. Now, some of them teach the teaching that of being Jesus being his own father. That's not true. I asked the question when Jesus resurrected from the dead and he walked in and he said that he's a spirit. What was meant by it when Jesus said, I am not a spirit, I'm flesh and bones? What was meant by it? Somebody tell me. What did he mean? John 4:24, according to the Bible, said God is a spirit. The same Jesus testified that God is a spirit. Is that right? If God is a spirit, somebody said, but now, Brother Pike, don't you know that Jesus was God? Let's just look just a minute and see if we understand what we're saying. Somebody said Jesus was God. All right, if the way that you're teaching it is right, explain one thing to me. Why was it that Jesus, who is supposed to be God according to that teaching, stood before the people, and they looked at him, and there stood God, and Jesus looked at them and said, you've never seen God at any time. Neither have you seen his image nor his shape at any time. Now, how do you account for that when he was standing right there looking at him? Somebody's wrong. Somebody's mixed up. Now, you say, what are you trying to say? Baptism in Jesus' name is right. I don't care whether you call it Jesus only or only Jesus or whatever you call it. If anybody be so foolish, my friend, it's still right. Whether UPC's got it, whether the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ got it, or whoever's got it, whether it's the Methodist or Baptist, whoever it is, there's a lot of them in those churches that have been baptized in Jesus' name. I know. Some of them I baptized. Now, but the thing is, it's still right, and they got that right. But there is some things that they're not on the doctrine of Christ with in the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why God cut them off just like he did the others. The Jesus name people parallel with the Jews. They run right down the line with the Jews. And when I say Jesus name, I'm speaking of the denominational sect, because it's not really Jesus name. They essentially, by their reason, separate themselves from the doctrine of Jesus Christ, wouldn't go on just like the rest of the churches. Separate themselves from the Spirit. And some of them in the church is some of the most worldly people I've ever seen in my life, with their dressing and everything else. Hungry for wealth and money and everything else. Don't say to yourselves, we have Abraham under our father, Jesus said. God's able of the stones to raise up children of Abraham. Don't be high-minded. You're grafted in wild, but nature can cut you off any time and bring in the true branches. Is that right? The Lord turned away from them because they got haughty and self-righteous. That's why he went to a people that was not called a Jesus' name people, went in there and gave him the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you can't get the Holy Ghost unless you're baptized in Jesus' name. Where did you read it in the Bible? The Bible said that Peter opened the doors of the kingdom to the Gentile church at Cornelius's, and while he preached, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And the Bible said, Peter speaking, seeing that these have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. Peter had been baptized in Jesus' name. They had not been baptized in Jesus' name. Said, now then, who can forbid water that they should not be baptized in Jesus' name? That's the answer right there. Now you say, what do you mean? I mean that God went over here, found the people, gave them the Holy Ghost, took a bride out for his name. Then he left the cage of every unclean and hateful bird just like an old nest. Is that right? He left it and brought them people out and got them on the doctrine of the revelation of Jesus Christ and left the Jesus name people that are called Jesus name, which are not really Jesus name. The UPC and the others is what they really are. Left them just like he did the Methodists and the Baptists and the other. Pulled some people out of every rank and brought them together in the revelation of Jesus Christ that Paul had to begin with, because he was the apostle to the Gentile church. He taught the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what the church was to be built on. Now, these people are coming together, going to be baptized in Jesus' name. Now, let me tell you something, Baptist and Methodist and UPC or whatever you are. Even though you might have the Holy Ghost, you've got to be baptized in Jesus' name if you want to make the rapture. And God, if he has given you the Holy Ghost, then you will be baptized. Because the Bible said that the Holy Ghost will guide you into all the truths of God. That's baptism. All the righteousness of God. And Jesus said, John, it becomes us to be baptized to fulfill righteousness. That's part of righteousness. Now, if you don't go to it, you don't have the Holy Ghost. That's all it is to it. Now, you might, people back yonder could have had an experience with God, but this is the evening time of light. There's no reason for you not to have it. And my friend, I ask you the question Paul did in the 19th chapter of Acts. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That's the Baptist, Methodist, and so forth. And then I ask the people that are in the churches that are called Pentecostal, have you been baptized in Jesus' name since you received the Holy Ghost? If not, Peter commanded them to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I say this to the UPC. Have you learned that people can have the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues as you teach that they have to have? You're wrong. Altogether wrong. Your revelation is not right. A lot of doctrine that UPC's got is wrong. A lot of the Church of God and Baptist got is wrong. The Methodist, the Catholic, it's wrong. But the Bible is right. The Bible is right. Every bit of it's right. And God said, come out from among them, because they're all going to go into the confederation of churches. Come out from among them. A lot of people say the UPC will never do it. I've seen them boast about, say, UPC will never do it, but they will do it. Somebody said, but they'll never do it, but they will. They've got too much money at stake. Already, the Baptist preaches and the Church of God preaches and the Assembly of God preaches and the UPC, they're beginning to mix already in these tent meetings and different things around, and they're beginning to mix already and take them into their pulpit. That's right. You love the Lord. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that the UPC people that you've met really have the Holy Ghost? The ones you've talked to that's baptized in Jesus' name. I know some of them don't, but some of them do. Do you believe that the Baptist people that you've met are believers? Some of them don't, some of them do. Now, do you believe that those that are out here in the Trinitarian church are really elect of God, the Pentecostals? Some of them are, some of them ain't. But God will bring all of them together. There will be one shepherd. There will be one fold. They will speak the same thing. They will see eye to eye. They will not break ranks and they will not pierce each other through. That's what that vision was I saw, where all of them stars gathered to one side of heaven. It was in the days of Joseph. that thing happened in Jesus is that Holy Ghost chosen that's moving in the body. They're going to raise up the standards of the revelation of Jesus Christ and the Word, and every true saint of God's going to come to it. Every person that don't will be cut off. I'm going to say this in close. What is it? They had not a love for the truth. God has turned them over to believe in Santa Claus. I mean the churches. To believe in Santa Claus and his spots and wrinkles and blemishes that the Catholic Church handed down to them. That's where it all comes from, Easter and all those teachings. Spots and blemishes, Santa Claus, believe in a teaching of baptism that is not right, believe you've got to speak with tongues and to have the Holy Ghost and all these other things, and they've gone into heresy, and the Spirit of God has left them. That's why their churches are drying up and dying, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Let's stand together. I appreciate you this morning. I have to take my time on these tapes, and if I weary you just a little bit, you told me that you wanted to win souls, is that right? So then remember, these tapes are going out to 50 or 100 million people or more. And then, if you want to win souls, then you can endure the cross just a little bit with inconvenience. I kind of enjoy coming when it's a little nippy. That way, it makes it just a little bit better to me. It makes me feel like I'm doing a little something by coming to church. Is that right? Otherwise, I'm doing no more than the rest of the church world. I want you to know that I'm not scolding any people, because God has got people in every walk of life, every creed, every denomination. In Christ is neither Negro nor white, Greek nor Jew. All of us are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. In all this racial conflict, all the fighting and wars is going to have to be done away with, so we can come together, and the only way we'll ever come together is in God, for God is love. And love works no ill to its neighbor. Love considers one another. When we all get in the spirit of love, we'll come together, and it won't be no problem. We won't have to have no philosophers, no great leaders. The Bible said in that day, no man shall save thee. No great leaders, no great voices, no great knowledge. We'll just have to have the love of God, and that'll correct every disorder. A man that's got the love of God isn't going to bother anybody. Let's sing that little song. They come from the east and the west. They come from the east and west. They come from the lands afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face. Aglow with light divine, blessed partakers of his grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Can we sing it again? They'll come from the east and west. They'll come from the lands afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with light divine. Bless partakers of his grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Let's sing, we'll walk in the light. Walk in the light. We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dew drops of mercy. mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Father, as we come to the close of another service, we're thankful for the message, thankful for the people. And dear God, we ask you to let us be as it was in the days of David, Lord, when they could take their little slingshots with a stone and hit it a hair's breadth. Dear God, as it was with the swordsman that was the greatest swordsman in all of the land. And Father, because they knew that they were the anointed of God, they had the greatest courage and fought, Lord, in a battle to the finish. And though men were great giants in their days, they never backed down. And dear God, may it be so that intellectually, Lord, when giants come our way, Father, that we'll have the best swordsmen in the land. And they'll have the great confidence. Oh God, we pray the great confidence, Lord, that they are the best swordsmen in the land through the grace of God. And Father, that they'll fight with courage, knowing that they've got the word. And Lord, be able to hit it a hair's breadth, Lord, when they give forth the word and the revelation.